Welcome to my nightmare.
Everybody, welcome to Maniac with a Machete, a horror podcast where we talk about horror series, and you have stumbled upon the final episode. This is it. We are done. We are absolutely done after this episode. I'm Jason Soto. I'm joined by my co-host, Rachel. How you doing, Rachel?
Good. Apocalyptically speaking.
Yep, yeah. Well, it's all kinds of apocalypse today, because... not only about what's going on in the world, but this is the final episode. We've been it's not been quite a year we've been together. We started like May of last year.
Oh, I didn't even think that was that early. I thought it was like late summer or early fall.
No, we started in May, because we started like a little, like maybe a week before the anniversary of the first Friday the 13th movie. And then, which is like, was the first weekend of May in 1980. And then, we just been plugging on ever since. And then we took a little break.
The time just flies, because it just didn't feel like that.
Yeah. It was an interesting ride. We have one more movie for you guys. I saved it for last. I did not want to end on the shitty remake. Mm-mm. Like, goddamn, I did not want to end on the remake. So we did that before this. So now today we are going to talk about Freddy versus Jason. I'm very excited for this, because since the season one, I've been looking forward to this movie, looking forward to hearing your thoughts on it, getting your brash opinion. Because I'm sure you have an opinion. I can only imagine.
Well, everybody has an opinion. They're like assholes. As the old saying goes.
That is true. So, okay, yeah, let's just get right into it, and then we'll do all the recap stuff at the end. Okay, so Freddy versus Jason. This was in like production hell for years. They've been trying to make this movie since 1987.
Damn.
Yeah. So yeah, 1987, they wanted to make a movie. New Line and Paramount wanted to make it, but they couldn't really get it to go. Sean Cunningham, who was the producer of the Friday 13th movies, worked to reacquire the rights to the movies, because he lost the rights to it at some point. And then wanted to work with New Line, who, of course, owns the Nightmare on Elm Street series. They wanted to license to the other's character so they could control the crossover film. But the negotiations collapsed, and Paramount just went ahead and made Friday 13th Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Jason takes his time getting to Manhattan. Yes. So then after that failed like miserably, the rights went to three producers, and they sold them to New Line so they can start working on Freddy versus Jason. But then Wes Craven made New Nightmare, and that put Freddy versus Jason on hold. Sean Cunningham went and made Jason Goes to Hell, which the whole thing at the end with the crazy glove coming up and taking the mask, that was supposed to be like a nod, like, hey, we're working on it. It's coming. We promise.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then it just kept getting delayed and delayed, and they made Jason X and then the remake.
Which is fine, since Jason X is set in the future.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It still made sense within the world, it including did. This. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's honestly one of like the... Like out of these series of movies, Friday the 13th is probably like the most like sense the timeline makes, because I can't keep track of this timeline in the Nightmare on Elm Street series. Like, none of it makes sense to me. Like, even though, like, you know, movies immediately followed each other, like, part four came immediately after part three, like, in the timeline, you know?
Right.
And then part five was, like, immediately after part four in the timeline.
Yeah. And then it was like, three, four, and five were all, like, clustered right there together, like, in one school year, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, part six, which is kind of like its own thing.
No idea. I'm still not sure about part six.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we're going to get into these ratings in a minute here.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Because I don't know if you remember what you rated each of these movies, but. Yeah.
Nope, I don't. But okay. I remember really disliking part six.
Yeah, you did.
Freddy's Dead, yeah.
Yeah, Freddy's Dead. You did not like Freddy's Dead. So, finally. Finally, they finally came up with a script. They finally got all the producers in a row. They cast the actors. Both Robert Englund was in. He was in. And then they were trying to get Kane Hodder to be Jason for this movie. New Line, the company, wanted to choose a different actor to play Jason.
Which is really ridiculous, because it's fucking Jason.
It's fucking Kane Hodder. Yeah, he's, like, fucking amazing as Jason. Like, you can't top that. But Sean Cunningham disagreed, and he fought for Kane Hodder. It got to the point where even Kane Hodder got the script for Freddy vs. Jason and met with the director. But the director and some of the executives felt that the role should be recast to fit the director's vision of Jason, whatever that may mean. So they basically booted Kane Hodder, and they hired this dude named Ken Kurtzinger, who is a Canadian stuntman who worked on Jason Takes His Time Going to Manhattan. Mm. And they hired him because he was taller than Robert Englund and was a little more, like, bigger and, you know, more intimidating looking, I suppose, which I guess so. I guess that's a true point.
I guess. It's just Jason wears a fucking mask. You know, it's.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it doesn't matter who plays him, but why not let the guy who's been playing him play him? Because it would mean something to the fans. And then also, why do you. It's not like he's emoting or anything here.
Yeah, yeah.
So why are you so dead set against a certain person? I don't know, you can make somebody look bigger or taller or whatever, you know, especially in 2003, they had the capabilities to do that. And, you know, I would say Hodder had a fan base, let him do it. So that's why I'm kind of like, that's stupid to be so insistent on not letting him do it and insisting on somebody else for a vision, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and plus, you know, I think it would have been awesome to have Kane Hodder in this movie. Like, I don't know. It just would be neat. But no, they didn't go with that route. So, let's see. This was budgeted $30 million, and it made $116.6 million. So, to say that people were looking forward to this movie is an understatement. It is the highest grossing film in the Friday the 13th series, and the second highest grossing in the Nightmare on Elm Street series. So,
there you go. After...
This does not say that.
Okay.
It's just, yeah, I don't know. I don't have the listing of that. I'm just reading off the Wikipedia.
I don't have those numbers.
I don't have those numbers. I'm not an accountant. I imagine probably I'm going to guess here. Friday the 13th, I would probably go with either the this is before the remake.
Yeah.
God, at this point, it would have been probably part three, I bet. Three or four, I'm willing to bet. Let's see if I'm right. 13th, part four. I feel like that did very well. No, wow, it's the fourth, ironically. So, I don't know. I don't know what the most popular one is. Okay. Or for Nightmare on Elm Street, I'd imagine the first movie. I think the first movie did well enough. And this was the final time that Robert Englund would play Freddy Krueger. Because then after this was the terrible remake, and then the whole character movie thing is just kind of in limbo, because everyone keeps wanting to remake it, and like Robert Englund even said, like, "Hey, I want one more crack at, you know, being Freddy. I'm still down," but no one can agree on anything. So there you go. All right, so what was the storyline? What story can we possibly come up with to bring these two titans of horror together? Interestingly enough, it feels more like a Nightmare on Elm Street movie with like a little bit of Jason mixed in. Like, do you agree with that?
I totally agree. Yes.
Because it starts off with Freddy like narrating like the movie. Basically, he starts off like you know, they were scared of me, and I was going after the, you know. He even admits like, yeah, I went after children, I killed children, but the parents got pissed, and they burnt me alive, and so then. But I got my revenge from beyond the grave. And then they show like clips of like almost all the Nightmare movies, even like the terrible part two.
Yeah.
And they showed that one like extensively. That was the longest one they held on, oddly enough. But yeah, it showed like almost every like movie in the series, like up to, I think they didn't even do part six. I think they stopped at five, if I remember correctly. And then he's like, but then the town of Springwood forgot about me, but I got a plan. And so then he talks about Jason. We then go to Jason, who we get like a scene of like, you know, something that could be out of Friday the 13th about this girl, you know, full on like skinny dipping. Mm-hmm. And, I got like, this is 2003 when this movie came out, and like they were very like loosey goosey with like the nudity in this movie. like man, I forgot like horror movies used to be like this. It was this girl like skinny dipping, and she hears a noise, and then so then she freaks out and then runs around like basically half naked until she runs to Jason, and then he kills her. But then this ends up being a dream Jason's having, which. It's kind of like a dog having a dream of like he's running around outside. Like he's just dreaming about killing a co-ed. But then, yeah, this ends up being a dream being controlled by Freddy. And Freddy's like, you must arise, Jason, and go to Springwood. And
Freddy, who's disguised as Jason's mother.
Mother, right. Yes, exactly. Not played by Betsy Palmer, sadly. No. That would have been cool. That would have been a cool little cameo, but
yeah, I wondered at first. I'm like, no, that's not her.
No, that wasn't her. There was like one thing I will say against this movie is that they don't do any like fun nods to anything. Like, you know, I was kind of expecting like there's one kind of thing. I don't know. Maybe you picked up on it. I'll get to it in a minute. There was one. But other than that, there was no like fun nods to anything like outside of, you know, Freddy getting. The montage of people that he attacked and killed at the beginning, and then, Freddy, there was no like, you know, hey, there's a hammock in the cabin that's not a bed, or there's a van or anything.
So many vans. Oh my gosh, so many vans. I miss van talk.
I do miss vans. Yeah, there was no van. There was no vans in Nightmare on Elm Street, was there?
No.
Man.
I think so.
Wes Craven, what the hell, man?
But no, they instead of vans, they had the funerals.
That's true.
There was no funeral in this movie. Either.
There was no funeral in this one.
No vans or no wait, there was a van. Sorry.
There was a van. Yes, you're right. We will have
van talk later.
We're gonna get to van talk. Yes, that's right. Our last episode, we're gonna talk about van talk.
But no funeral.
No funeral. No, which is surprising, but.
Mm-hmm.
So he wakes up Jason and he goes into Springwood. We then go to Nancy's house, and yes, it is actually Nancy's house. They say
on
it
on Elm Street.
They say it in the movie, like the cops are like, "This is Nancy's house," or whatever. And we meet our main characters of Lori, Kia, some other guy I can't remember.
Kim, one of them.
Yeah. And then these two dudes show up. And honestly, their names aren't that super important because they get killed pretty early.
Very soon, yeah.
So one dude
is
an asshole, yeah. Is that what you're going
to say? Well, yeah, it's like one dude's a dickhead and he's screwing Kim, who doesn't live there. She's Lori's friend.
Yeah.
And they have a very volatile relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And then he dies and it's great, so.
Yeah, I got to say, they set up like this asshole character. And then they just end up killing him like 2 minutes later. Mm-hmm. I kind of wouldn't have minded if he like lasted just a little longer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe like like 10 minutes.
And then I don't know.
And, like, have him get killed at the rave. You know what I mean?
Maybe. But then you get like from the Friday the 13th remake, you get the asshole who owns the house that everybody hates, Trent or whatever.
Yeah, but
who lasts till the very end of the movie, and you're like, God damn, right?
I'm not asking. Yeah, I was not asking for that. But no,
not that.
No, definitely not asking for that. No, yeah, this asshole guy shows up, and he's Kim's girlfriend, and there's some interesting stars in this movie. Nothing huge, mm-hmm. but you got Jason Ritter, who's John Ritter's son. He's in this. You got Kelly Rowland from like fucking Destiny's Child in this. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And then there's Catherine Isabel, who plays Kim. She's more notorious for being in Ginger Snaps. You ever seen Ginger Snaps?
I have not, but I have seen her in other stuff.
Yeah, she's in a bunch of shit. She was in some X-Files episode. Yeah, she's in a ton of stuff, but I think she's more popular in a horror scene for being in Ginger Snaps, but
okay,
and being really hot. So yeah, there's an interesting cast in this, and there's like guys who like I think were in something, but I don't recognize their name. Like the
cop
looked like he was from something, but like I fucking don't recognize anything he's in.
I know, same. Yeah, and then the kind of to spoil it, that the one guy's older brother that he was having a dream about.
Well, him. I know who that is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He looks familiar too.
Yeah, this was just filled with people like that, and I'm like, huh, okay. So the asshole guy and Kim are having sex up in the upstairs, and Jason sneaks in somehow.
Like, it's Jason. He's quick like a fox.
Yeah. Apparently.
For his height and size.
I guess so. Like,
and
you know, despite
rotting flesh. Yeah.
Despite me just reading that the dude playing him is like 6'9" and weighs like 300 pounds of all muscle, and yeah, I'm sure he doesn't smell very good. These kids like somehow missed him, like not even getting into the house but going upstairs. I mean, like,
yep.
Like, damn. Like, I know Jason can teleport, but Jesus. So, yeah, the asshole guy and Kim are having sex, and then he's like, ew, get off of me, I hate being cuddled after sex, and she takes a shower. And then Jason shows up, and then not only, like stabs him with the machete, he, like, bends the bed in half, like, turning him in half, and it's like, damn.
I was like, what is up with that bed? I couldn't tell if it was already, like, spring-loaded, you know, like a fold-away bed of some sort. Or
no, I think he just did that.
Just because.
He just made it into one of them fold-away beds, I guess. That would have been even funnier if it was one of those ones that you get from a couch, and he just folded it back into the couch.
Yeah. Trifold, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's just blood oozing out of the couch, and the chick's like, what? That would have been awesome. But I do like how after he kills this guy, Jason just simply leaves.
Yeah.
Despite there being like 4 other people in this house. So yeah, he just like leaves. And then it just so happens a cop like shows up, like just drives by
this nice, quiet suburban white neighborhood.
Yep, he just happened to be driving.
And so then
we get like the scene of the cops like oh, this is the house that it happened in, and he might be coming back, and the sheriff is like, don't mention it, don't talk about it, we need to cover it up, blah 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 blah, and then of course Lori, who's going to be our main character, our final girl, if you will, is, you know, like, whoa, what's going on? And she hears the name Freddy Krueger. And so then she gets curious about it and starts asking the deputy, who looks familiar to me, like, you know, hey, who's this Freddy Krueger guy? And he's like, I don't know, I just got transferred here yesterday.
I just moved here.
Yeah, I don't know anything. Like, great. Convenient. The only sympathetic person we got on the police force, and he doesn't know shit. Awesome.
Sounds about right, yeah.
So she's at the police station. She falls asleep, and then she, you know, comes across this like little girl in her dream, and she talks about how Freddy's coming back, and then she gets startled awake, and then her dad starts acting shady as fuck, because then he's like putting her spiking her drink with this Hypnosol, which was in like several Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Which I wonder, like, people who just went into this blindly didn't know what the hell that was.
Yeah.
So then they had to, like, put this, like, exposition scene, like just inserted in. Like, oh, Hypnosil, that drug that causes you to not dream.
Well, what kills me is how many has it been in since the days of Nancy? And it's still in the experimental phase.
Yeah, right.
After 30 years, I think it would be yay or nay at this point.
Right. The FDA was really taking their time approving this drug.
Yeah.
Like, man, I know our government. Well, the government in 2003 was slow, but they.
Some things never change.
Rachel, quick question: which government would you prefer, government 2003 or government now?
I guess 2000, fuck, I don't know. Three, maybe, I don't know.
I know, right?
In 2003, I didn't pay much attention because I was in college and didn't give a shit. So I'll go with 2003.
Okay. I think I would too.
It was a simpler time.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, okay, this ain't a political podcast. Sorry.
No.
Sorry. I just had that thought, like, yeah, back in 2003, we all were like, man, fuck the government. And. Now we're
it wasn't
just
great,
like,
but it wasn't now.
No, it was like, now we're like, oh, I wish we had that back. Oh, modern politics. Okay. Meanwhile, we kind of get like some exposition on Laurie's boyfriend named Will, who's played by Jason Ritter, that he just like mysteriously vanished one day.
He just up and moved with his family.
He just, yeah, up. Yeah, that was supposedly the story. And so we find out him and his friend Mark are, like, locked up in this, like, institution.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark. Oh, that would have been amazing. That's an amazing crossover. We need that.
Yeah. Well, they were the same year, so they probably,
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It hadn't hit yet.
That's right. Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
So we're in this like institution. They don't really explain why they're in this institution. Well, they don't say why. I don't think they said why Mark was in there, but they said that Will was in there because he saw Lori's dad kill Lori's mom. And then I'm getting this out of the way. Lori's dad is a doctor at this institute. So he pulled some strings to lock him up into the institute. But I don't know why Mark was there.
I feel like it had something to do with his brother.
I feel like it did too, but they didn't really
kill him. Who? Maybe Mark. Everybody thought Mark had killed himself. Freddy maybe have done it, and maybe his brother had. They were clearly trying to get them out of the way because of the whole Freddy. Like they didn't want to talk about Freddy, so everybody wouldn't be afraid of him, and he couldn't come back.
Yeah, and then there is this whole like kind of a subplot about how like kids like in this town who can't. Can't sleep or dream or whatever, get locked up in this place, and then they get into a coma by taking too much Hypnosil, but that doesn't kind of really go anywhere. It's just, like, there. Like, it's just mentioned, and it's like, well, that's it. So the Will notices that Lori's on the news and that there was a murder, and so he freaks out, and it's like, hey, we got to get out of here. We got to break out. So Will and Mark break out in
a little too easily.
Right, I would say the security in this place is severely lacking.
Yeah.
Not only because of this scene, but later.
Yeah.
It's like, is there a security guard or anything?
If their asses are locked up against their will, I mean, it's not one of these places that you check yourself into and then when you feel better, you can just go home. No. They're under lock and key. And yet, they just run out the back door.
No, yeah, this was like the easiest like escape plan. It was like I'm gonna jump around like an asshole, and then
grab his keys,
grab the keys, and then we're just gonna simply walk out.
Mm-hmm.
that was it. Meanwhile, one of the other guys that was at the party is at home, and there's this weird like scene where like the kid's like dad comes out and is like, you weren't drinking or at the party. Why were you at the party?
Well, yeah, the guy that got killed at the beginning, it was his best friend who was also at Lori's house. Well, yeah. Sorry, when you said party, I was thinking of the field party.
No, we haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
No, okay. We're not quite there yet.
Everything's getting jumbled up.
Nah, I can understand. Yeah. I'm trying to get the plot stuff out of the way first.
Plot.
Who needs that, right?
Yeah.
So this kid, and again, his name doesn't matter. He gets killed in like 10 seconds here.
Yep.
And he's on the porch, and his dad's like, oh, why are you at the party, blah, blah, blah. And so then the kid's like, just leave me alone, dad.
My best friend just got killed.
My friend got killed. And so then he ends up falling asleep. He has a vision of Freddy. Not a vision, a dream of Freddy showing up. And then, but Freddy's not strong enough. So then he's like, I'll let Jason take care of it. So then on cue, he wakes up, finds the dad somehow after getting yelled at by the kid, came back, sat down next to him, in which then Jason decapitated the dad all in like a span of 10 seconds.
Yeah, and waited for the kid to wake up to kill him. And this is all the same night that the other guy got killed too, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah. This is just a couple hours later.
Yeah, literally like just a couple hours later. And so then, of course he sees the dad's decapitated and Jason shows up. And now the camera angle on this goes by so quick. I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's no way Jason would have killed this guy because the dad's head fell into the guy's lap and he's right. Holding it in his hand. He then sees Jason standing next to him. And when Jason raises the machete to, you know, put it into the kid, he holds the dad's head up.
Right.
And, like, wouldn't the machete have just gone into the guy's head?
That's what I was thinking. I was wondering, did they just kill him? That didn't make any sense. No, right. I totally buy that, too. I mean, what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not feel like this was a legitimate kill.
Exactly. But no, apparently this guy's dead, because then the next day, when everyone's back at school...
Yeah, including the three girls who were in the house with the guy who got killed, especially the one that had just had sex with him, and she's like, I'm going to go to school today. Like,
yeah.
PTSD? Come on, guys.
Oh, by the way, too, this school is the most lax school as well. Like, apparently security does not exist in this school at all. Because there's this scene where all the girls get together and they're like, oh, I can't believe all the guys dead, blah, 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 blah. Lori is like in the middle of the hallway talking about, I kept having this dream of this guy named Freddy. He's got a burnt face, blah, 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 blah. And then like everybody in the hallway just gets quiet and just start like looking at her. And I'm like, no, why are they doing that? Like, they don't do that in movies. Like, usually it's people in the background, like, rushing around.
Right.
Like, but no, everyone had to stop and, like, hear what she had to say. And then at this point, Mark and Will show up in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess there's no security. And then they're like, no, that was Freddy Krueger. He was he basically explains, like, he was a child killer, blah, 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 blah.
Like, freaking out and yelling at her.
Yeah.
In the middle of the hallway. So now everybody's definitely listening.
And then, yeah, Will shows up. And then she faints because she sees Will. And then, of course, then the principal shows up. And then Will's like, we gotta go. So they leave the school. Lori's in the nurse's office, the least helpful nurse I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah. Seriously.
Like, what was up with this nurse? And didn't we do another movie? One of these movies had, like, an unhelpful nurse in it. I can't remember which one it was.
Was it the one, was it New Nightmare at the psychiatric hospital?
Yeah, I feel like it was a school nurse, but maybe it was that. I'm thinking. I think you might be right, actually. So, yeah, apparently someone on New Line doesn't like nurses.
Yeah, or it could have been any of the psychiatric ward episodes. I don't know. I feel like, but I can't remember.
It might have been like one of the movies with Alice in it, because they were in high school. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. I just feel like someone on New Line doesn't like nurses. So what was up with this weird subplot that ends up going away where Kelly Rowland wants a nose job?
And why is she asking a school nurse how much it costs and if it hurts? The school nurse who just helps with like handing somebody an inhaler when their asthma acts up at lunch, or
right.
you know, giving out Tylenol to for a headache. I'm like, you think she knows? Yeah, I don't. I have no idea.
Yeah, fucking weird.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a weird subplot with just her nose job, and then Freddy kind of shows up and cuts her nose off, and I think we even got a "got your nose" joke.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even why were there plastic surgery magazines?
Right. Yeah.
About high school.
Because like. I thought, like, she bought that in, but no, she picks it up from the table,
mm-hmm.
and it starts going through it, and then it's like, no, those were there for some reason. It's like, okay, 2003, yep. You're fucking weird.
And why are her, also, why are her friends allowed to skip class and sit and wait on her while, like, Lori, who's napping in the nurse's office when she fainted?
Yeah, that's weird. That is weird, like, too, yeah.
There's just a whole lot. Of people who obviously never had to visit the school.
No, obviously not. So, okay. Let's just jump to the party at the cornfield. That's kind of what we're leading up to. So there's this big giant, this is, oh my God, this movie's so dated. Giant rave in a cornfield.
The glow sticks.
Glow sticks. And the Jesus. And it's not even like EDM music. It's fucking nu metal, which like super dates this movie. And it kind of makes me sad because it's like nu metal doesn't exist anymore. So it's like, God damn, this is a dated ass movie. Mm-hmm. So they go to this party, and then Kim passes out from just being drunk all the time. Because that's like her thing, is that she likes to drink all the time.
Yeah. I thought you were going to quit smoking. Well, I only smoke when I drink. But you always drink. Well, that's the next thing I'm going to work on, quitting. And she bangs the asshole who gets killed. Yeah, that's Kim.
I love that. I love that line. I love that line of dialogue. That is amazing.
It is pretty great. And it's pretty clever, too.
Mm-hmm. But so we're at this party. It's in this cornfield. And we get, like, every, like, stereotype. Like ever made. Like this feels like the guys that made like the movies wrote this scene, because we got the jock stereotype, we got the stoner stereotype, we get the nerd stereotype, who actually ends up being a main character in the movie.
And the stoner stereotype, like the guy who was a total Jason Mewes ripoff.
That's totally Jason Mewes. Like,
oh,
they're not even hiding it. They were not even hiding it. Yeah, and I felt like the jock guy was supposed to be Jack Black. Like he acted very much like Jack Black, even though Jack Black wasn't really a thing in 2003.
Or like a jock. How he is now.
Or a jock. But like his build, like everything about it just reminded me of like Jack Black. Like I feel like 25 years from now, people are gonna have like a Mandela effect and think that Jack Black was in this movie. Like, yeah, Jack Black wasn't Freddy versus Jason. He was a jock. Like, what are you talking about? Like, my great grandfather, he watched it in the theaters. He told me so. And I'm in some nursing home, like, Jack Black wasn't in the movie, you assholes. So Kim passes out in the cornfield, and she has this dream that her asshole boyfriend, who's still very much dead.
Yeah.
Shows up and is like, yo, babe, come on. Don't make me ask again. And makes her follow him to a barn that then turns into the boiler room. And so then Freddy shows up and starts kind of like teasing, you know, her like how he does in all the other Nightmare movies. Meanwhile, in real life, she's about to get date raped. FYI. I guess this movie does not age well. No. I don't know. So, then as Freddy's about to kill Kim, Jason shows up at the cornfield and stabs both the date raper and Kim with the machete. And then as a result of this, Kim dissolves from the dream And then Freddy's like, no, no, she's mine. And so then Freddy realizes, oh, shit, Jason is just going around killing everybody and not saving anybody for me.
Yeah.
And we get this amusing sequence. We get some amusing sequence where it goes to the jock and this other guy, and they're drinking Everclear. Question, have you ever had Everclear?
I have not actually had it. I know of it. I've been around it. I've never had it myself.
Same. I've never had it myself. Supposedly, it really fucks you up.
Yeah.
But I never had it. So I was just curious. So they're drinking Everclear. And then, of course, Jason shows up. So the one guy's like immediate response is to throw the Everclear on Jason, and then they light him up.
But in then that the cornfield.
In the cornfield, yeah. You know, they're high schoolers who are dumb, and they're jocks, and they're also drunk.
I know.
You know, just, you know, intelligence is not their strong suit.
I know. It hurts, though.
I know. But Jason ends up killing both of these guys and then starts going towards the main party on fire, lighting up the entire cornfield. And then Lori and Will and Kelly Rowland and the nerdy guy and the stoner guy are like, what the fuck's going on? They start running around. They find Kim dead in the field, which sad. And then they get into Will. Well, okay. Will borrowed Mark's van, and the van ended up being his brother's van. So, Rachel.
Van talk!
Woo! It has returned! Yes! I love for the final episode, we get to do one more van talk. I'm so happy. So, what did you think of this van? This is kind of an interesting van. It's got like one of those like wizard paintings on the side all over it.
Love those things. I would never drive one, but they're amazing.
It's got that furry, like, you know, upholstery inside it.
And then the back has no seats. It's just like empty. It's like just the driver's seat and the passenger seat, right?
Yeah.
Like no seats in the back. You just kind of have to lay flat.
Or something.
I'm remembering a van in the sixth movie now. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, fuck. That's right. There was a van in that movie.
Because it belonged to the halfway house.
That's right.
And the guy got attacked by the map in the back. I can't believe we skipped Van Talk.
I don't believe we missed Van Talk. Like
4 episodes wow. Ago.
Mm. Well, you know what? It's fine, because we can have one final Van Talk. So
we got a final Van Talk.
We got a final, our final Van Talk. Yes, no, absolutely.
Yes, it was a glorious van.
Yeah, the brother should be proud. He very well should be proud of that van. And I don't blame Mark for, you know, telling Will to be careful with it.
Excuse me. I am surprised that his parents kept it around after he died. That's not really something you hang on to.
I have to wonder if there's even parents involved, because Mark stayed behind at home after escaping an insane asylum.
Right.
He just goes home.
But they had been there for 4 years, so if... Like, you know, I mean, somebody had to still live in a place with the van, or they would have shut it down and sold everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe.
There's that town.
I mean, maybe the parents were, like, equally sad and was like, yeah, I need to keep this, you know.
Where are the parents?
But there was no parents, you know, at this guy's house. And so this guy, Mark, he's at his house, and he's you know, he's just at home, you know, whatever. And then apparently he fell asleep. And then so Freddy starts messing with him in the biggest fucking bathroom I've ever seen in my goddamn life. Like, that was like a living room.
It was like, you haven't seen my in-laws' bathroom.
Is it that big?
Fucking huge.
Really?
It is ridiculous. They put it's so big, they put like a 4-foot Christmas tree in the middle of it every year.
What?
Yes, they can fit.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. They can fit an actual Christmas tree in the middle of the bathroom. It's huge.
What the fuck?
Like, when they built that house and we moved in, their walk-in closets were bigger than my entire apartment. Our entire apartment at the time.
Jesus Christ, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's
that
bananas.
Is crazy. Wow, I don't even know what to make of that. That's I don't know what's more weirder, the fact that your in-laws has a giant bathroom or the fact they put their Christmas tree in the bathroom.
Well, no, that's not the... No, they have 14 Christmas trees every year. They just happen to put a Christmas tree in that bathroom.
That didn't help anything, Rachel.
I know. Trust me.
I know.
We visit every year at Thanksgiving, and we leave before all the Christmas decorations come out the next day. We're like, oh, we gotta go. We have a plane to catch.
Oh, we never
stick around and help because they put up 14 Christmas trees.
All right. I'm gonna miss hearing stuff like this from you. Whew, okay. Wow. Interesting. Where was I? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Big bathroom.
The kid's in the big bathroom. He has a vision that his brother. So the brother is played by Zach Ward. Now that name might not mean anything to you, but he is most notorious for playing Scut Farkas in A Christmas Story.
Okay. I gotcha now. I didn't look far enough back when I was checking his IMDb.
That's who that is.
That's okay. That clears a bell now.
That's who that is, yes. And randomly, he follows me on Twitter. Yeah. That is really cool. He just followed me one day on Twitter, and I was like, why is Zach Ward following me? Because I also know he was... Nobody watched this movie and B liked it, but he was also in a Uwe Boll movie called Postal, and it's actually the only Uwe Boll movie that I like.
Oh, okay.
Which is funny because it is the most notoriously bad. Like it's everyone says it's the worst movie he's ever made, but
that's a very low bar.
But I enjoy it because of how terrible it is, like. Like, House of the Dead is terrible, and I will refuse to watch it ever again because it's terrible. Postal is terrible, but is so entertainingly stupid. Like, nice. I full on admit it's a terrible movie. But it's just so, like shocking how terrible it is. Like, you can't believe this got made, and it's just so weird, and I just like weird movies. And so, that just, yeah, that totally... I totally was into Postal, and so Zach Ward is in that as well. So maybe that's why he follows me on Twitter. He found the one guy who liked Postal, and I was like, well, I gotta follow that guy on Twitter. So so he has a vision of his brother who cut his wrist in the bathtub, and then this ends up being Freddy.
Yep.
And then Freddy's like, I need you to send a message to the outside world. And then the guy's like, I won't do it. So Freddy's like, all right, fuck you then. And then he kills Mark. And then, like, Will and Lori go back to pick up Will or whatever. Will and Lori go to Mark's place to drop off
Will
the van.
Will, I thought you said Will and Lori go to pick up Will. And I'm like,
Maybe I did. I don't know. Sorry. It's a lot of names. Sorry.
Yeah. It's a lot of white people names.
It is. It is, admittedly, yes.
Well, all the movies they are. Yep.
That's true, too.
I literally could never remember anybody's name in the Friday the 13th movies because it was just the whitest names possible. Just a string of them.
And then they all just got killed anyway.
Just died. Yeah, in whatever way. There was an Alice in that one too. She was the first final girl, right?
Yes.
And then there was the second Alice, who was another final girl. And
yep.
And then Nancy in Nightmare on Elm Street. And I'm out. Tina. And then I'm Tina. Out. I got no other names. Glenn, because Glenn's useless.
Well, okay.
And Johnny Depp. So.
Well, Glenn was Johnny Depp, so or Johnny. Depp
I know that's Glenn. What I'm saying. That's why I remember Glenn.
And then
Johnny Depp. And useless.
Yeah. So,
anyway, well, sorry.
The second Friday the 13th had Ginny, so, I just remember that because she's played by Amy Steele, who's fucking amazing. But then after that, yeah, I can't remember them all.
Yeah.
I already forgot, like, Corey Feldman's name. No, he was Tommy Jarvis.
Yeah,
I can't remember. I can't remember the sister's name, so that I don't remember. Probably Sally? Nope. I feel like it's Sally. It could be Sally.
Sure.
Hey, you know what? Every final episode has a recap of like previous episodes, so this makes perfect sense for us to do this.
Yeah,
Remember the bikers and the third Friday the 13th? I don't remember their names either. I think one, they had like nicknames. There was like Fox or something.
Well, they're biker gang of three people. Biker
gang. Oh, Shelly. Don't forget Shelly.
Oh, fuck. Shelly. Scott.
Yeah. Yeah, Scott. Good old Scott Knopf there. Yep. Whew. Memories.
Yeah. See, for the last episode, you should have just done what the sitcoms of the 80s and 90s did and just had like a recap. You know, like a memory episode where you just play your favorite clips.
Yeah, that's all we're going to do. Yep.
And we would just have like 30 seconds where it'd be like, hey, remember that time we insert the clip? And that would be all the new material.
Yeah. Just
like all those old sitcoms we used to watch.
Exactly.
Another memory episode. Fuck all of y'all.
Yeah. That's how Full House ended. They ended like that.
They ended on a memory episode?
Yeah.
God
because,
damn, what? Bullshit.
Because Michelle fell off a horse and got amnesia. And so then the whole episode was just them reminding her of all the things they did for like the past 7 seasons. And it was like, remember that one time when Comet ran away and then Uncle Joey had to like do this and then it goes to that episode. And then it was like, I remember that one time we went to Disney World and the Beach Boys was there. And
I do remember that episode. Oh, my God. I didn't watch it that far in. So
yeah, that was the final episode of Full House, was the memory episode. It was so weird.
Oh, I'm so glad I did not continue with that bullshit. I would have been cussing.
That would have been crazy. That's so weird thinking about that. That was the final episode. Like, how do we end this show that's been on for 7 years? And I just have them sit around the set and just reflect on clips for an hour. And it was an hour, too.
Oh, God.
And it was like, yeah, I remember when you got bullied and DJ had to go beat up the girls. like Michelle's like, I don't remember. And I think she even was like, I think you're all lying to me. You're not my family. And ran away or something. It was weird. We should do a Full House podcast now and just talk about the final episode.
And Fuller House. And Fuller. We got to hit Netflix Fuller House, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have to hate ourselves that much to do it.
Yes, that's true. I suppose that's true.
Life in the time of quarantine.
Yes. Oh, I don't think I'm that desperate.
Me either. I got other shit to do.
All right, back to Freddy vs. Jason. We're actually almost done, believe it or not. This is a very short movie.
This one actually felt short, even though going back to the rave, it was 41 minutes into the film before we actually get any sort of verses out of Freddy and Jason when Jason killed Kim while she was in her dream. Because I was waiting for it because, you know, it talked about Freddy finding Jason in the depths of hell to help him with his master plan or whatever. And then it's like, wait. What? I thought you guys were gonna fight.
They end up fighting after this because then fast forward just a little bit here.
Anyway, it was almost halfway through the movie before there was any sort of issue between Freddy and Jason.
Right, because then Freddy was like, oh shit, Jason's like killing all these people. Jason's going rogue. Oh no, it's Mission Impossible 7. Isn't that those movies are about? Someone just goes rogue all the time.
I feel like, yes. And Tom Cruise running.
Yeah, Tom Cruise running. And then hanging off like an airplane like 30,000
and doing
feet.
Like the most batshit crazy stunt he can do for like an 80-year-old man.
Exactly. we keep getting sidetracked. Okay.
Yeah,
No, it's probably my fault. Okay. So to speed this up a little bit. So Lori, Kelly Rowland, Will, the stoner guy, and the nerdy guy all team up because now they're like, okay, so we got this Freddy Krueger guy who's killing us in our dreams. We got this Jason guy who's killing us when we're awake. It's like, holy fuck, now what? We get this weird little sequence where Lori falls asleep like while they're having this little meeting about what to do. And then she dreams that they're all like, well, obviously we need to sacrifice a virgin to make Jason and Freddy go away. And then they're like, yeah, obviously Lori's the virgin, so let's tie the bitch up. And so then they all like get together to tie her up. And then Freddy shows up and starts like kind of making out with her.
Yeah, it was gross. It was more Freddy Tongue. I've already seen way too much Freddy Tongue in the last couple of months, and I had to endure it one last time.
Freddy was all about the tongue, man.
Ugh.
And he gross. Was all about the tongue.
Yeah.
But obviously, this was a nightmare. She wakes up, and then they're like, "Okay, we need to go get some Hypnosil because we're, you know, we need to not dream." So
did you mention that the deputy guys help them?
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah, the cop shows up.
Yeah, he'd been kind of kept out in the dark about Freddy. So he starts researching and finds all this info about Jason and thinks it's a copycat killer.
That's
and brings
right.
it to the teenagers, and that's why they're kind of like, well, what the fuck do we do?
That's right, that's right, yeah. Well, because really the cop wasn't there for long either, really. Because they were like, we need to get this Hypnosil from the... And apparently the only place to get Hypnosil is from the insane asylum.
Yep.
That's the only place you can go to. So they were like, we need to go to the insane asylum and steal the Hypnosil. And apparently... A, they did not up their security since two inmates escaped.
Nope.
B, they didn't change out the security card that got stolen.
Nope.
So they just, like, snuck in. And like, they're not even, like, sneaking. They're, like, literally just clomping around this insane asylum, talking normally. And even the fucking J Muse guy is like, yo, we're gonna light up a J. So they're looking for the Hypnosil. Jason Mewes there gets like possessed by Freddy after having a bong hit from this weird like worm alien thing.
Yeah. And then the worm crawls inside him and it's Freddy.
And then he gets possessed by Freddy. And then he has possessed as Freddy. He dumps like apparently the only Hypnosil on the planet because then everyone freaks out. And then Jason shows up at the insane asylum. And then Jason kills the cop because he was just pointless.
Well, he had served his purpose. He brought the information about Jason.
Oh, that's true.
He was done.
That was it. That's all he had to do. That was his whole role in the movie, was just provide exposition. So now that Jason Mewes is possessed by Freddy, he fills these syringes with some kind of like sleeping stuff. How would I call it? They said it like 1,000 times in the movie. Like, we're running low on, what was it? Tranquilizers.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
God, yes. My brain. Jesus Christ. Dang. I smoked too much weed in the 20s.
It's only 1920 or 2020. Shit.
I meant in my 20s. I meant in my 20s.
In your 20s, not in the 20s. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
They've just started. You're 3 months in. I know it feels longer.
It does feel fucking longer. Like it's only fucking April. Jesus Christ.
April 1st of all things. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, March was like 6 months long.
It was, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. My kids are, and we're all just so confused about what day it is anymore.
I understand completely.
Yep.
And it doesn't help that TV's not normal either, because it's like, well, we're off the air and some things, and then talk shows are doing their shows from their house. So it's like, yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So Freddy has all this tranquilizer and doing something that I'm surprised no one thought of in like the span of 9 movies is he fills Jason with tranquilizers, which immediately passes him out.
Yeah, all like
I think you have to admit
400 pounds and 20 feet of him,
and who's basically a zombie at this point.
Yeah,
and this knocks him out, and then Jason gets like one last like kill, you know, before he gets knocked out when he kills Jason Mewes there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get where Jason's now having a nightmare, and then we get our Freddy versus Jason moment finally. Like, you're right, it was like 45 minutes into the movie we get our first showdown. They're finally on screen together for the very first time, and then it's just fucking like Freddy just like beating the shit out of Jason and is like, yeah, I can't, you know, you're in my world, bitch. And you know,
oh god, how many fucking times did that line come up in this movie? It felt like a lot.
Kind of a lot. Yeah, kind of a lot.
Way too, like, it was excessive for 90 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. They said it. They every like. I think everyone said it at least once. I feel like.
Yeah.
So yeah, Jason's like, you know, cutting off Freddy's arms, but he grows them back, and then Freddy's like doing like ping pong with Jason. It's kind of hard to explain, but he's, and then they do something in this that's curious to me. They have Jason afraid of water. Which is a little weird. I mean, I get why he would be afraid of water.
Drowning.
But that never came up in the other movies because he was constantly in water, jumping out of water, grabbing people.
Right.
Like going several back times. Water. Yeah. So like that never really came up, but then Freddy's like, oh, you're scared of something. And so this transforms Jason into like a baby. And then Freddy's like, let's find out what you're afraid of. And so we find out, yes, he's afraid of water because he was drowning. And then we get this weird sequence where Jason's dragging, like, a body into, like, this cabin that's sinking into the water. And it's a cool visual, and I'm sure it was just for the trailer, but... yeah. So then, in the real world, everyone's like... oh, I forgot to mention that Lori figured out that she can bring Freddy from her dream, because that's like a common theme throughout these movies.
Gotta do it.
So they're like, okay, we need to get these two to meet and square off in the real world, because if, you know, Jason's can't do it in the dream world, that's where Freddy's strongest. So they pack Jason, a knocked out sleeping Jason, into the cool van.
Yep, the back of the van.
The back of the van, and then just they're like,
there's, I mean, they're nervous, but they're shockingly chill, like, just looming over him, this giant zombie that could kill any of them any second. They have no idea about, I mean, they've doped him up, but at the same time, he could wake up any second, and they're all just kind of like, huh, like he's a science experiment, well, like, you're too close.
I mean, they mentioned that they had the tranquilizers with them, and they kept giving it to
right
him.
They brought more, but at the same time, do you really know what you're dealing with, kids?
No, they don't. They're no teenage. Well, I mean, even the nerdy kid felt like he was out of his element,
right? They, I'm just saying they were still a little too close and comfortable with Jason there lying unconscious in the van. I would have been like, no, I'll meet you there, I'm good. I'll just catch the bus
I'll
to
walk.
Crystal Lake. I'll walk to Crystal Lake. It's fine.
Which now begs the question, so apparently Crystal Lake is not that far from Springwood?
Yes, Illinois and New Jersey are, like, right
next to
each
other
and share a state line, apparently.
I guess so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or they've been driving for that, like, super long time, and it's like Inception, where, like, the dreams last longer than you think they do. I don't know.
I don't know, mate.
But, so yeah, Freddy's kind of like... kicking Jason's ass in his dream, and so Lori's like, I need to go in, and then, you know, I need to bring Freddy out, and it's always, so Rachel, let me ask you, why do you think it's always the girls who want to do this? Like, I know in our, you know, the us watching it, it's like, it's gotta be the final girl, blah blah blah, but like, why is it always like the girl who's doing this part, or going into the dream to get Freddy?
Like,
that's always so weird to me.
I don't know. Like, because they don't really know about his background with children. Which, yes, there were boys, but he definitely seemed to have more of a...
Yeah.
...attraction to the little girls. So it's not like they knew that they would be more tempting for him. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah, it's always weird. It's always the girl who's going in and like, I'm going to get Freddy. And the guy's like, okay.
In this case... Has at this point, has Lori figured out, have we talked about her figuring out what really happened to her mom?
No, not yet, because this was in the dream she figured that out.
Okay, all right.
So she gets knocked out, she gets put in a sleep, and she wakes, she in the dream, she's at Camp Crystal Lake in the 50s, and we get the scene of all these, like, the little kids, like, tormenting Jason, like, little Jason, and then all the camp counselors, like, are literally, like, humping on, like, the porch of the camp.
Yeah. Like, in the first movie, they were, like, at least in an attic of a building somewhere.
Yes.
Low-key.
Yes.
No, this is, like, literally balls out.
Yeah.
On the porch.
On the porch. Yeah. No shame. Yeah. Hashtag no shame.
Yeah. Hashtag blessed. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I don't know if the guy was blessed. We didn't see that part, but.
But wouldn't she be blessed as well? Anyway.
Well, so, maybe.
I mean, yeah. Anyway, yeah, that but was. it was like, you couldn't have gotten a room. I mean,
it's like, to the director,
you couldn't have gotten a room for these two. Did you see the first movie?
It's almost like they were like, well, we're technically watching the kids. We're right here.
They're just over there.
So Lori's like, aren't you going to do... And then this was like the biggest setup to a joke I've ever seen in my life. She goes, aren't you going to help the kids? And then they're like, the counselor's like, can't you see we're busy? And then she goes, well, aren't you coming?
Yeah.
And it's like, why would you even say that unless you're setting up a terrible joke?
Yeah.
Like, what? And then the counselor turns into Freddy. Oh, I remember reading this on IMDb. That part was actually based off of a former script they had where it was going to reveal that, like, unburnt, undead Freddy Krueger was a counselor at Camp Crystal Lake when Jason drowned. But that they wrote that into one of the previous scripts, but they felt that people weren't gonna believe it.
Yeah, we don't
because I mean it, and then timeline wise, it doesn't make sense because
especially if you mean like all his backstory.
Yeah.
Like when he was a kid. Yeah. Freddy had never, like, you know, this kid needs some help. Let's send him off to be a camp counselor in New Jersey. Yeah. It doesn't fucking work.
Yeah. He was supposed to be, like, a teenager or something, but that still doesn't make sense because Jason, like, was a kid in the 50s, as they show in this scene. And then Freddy's reign. Well, no, I guess that could have made sense because he started terrorizing in the 70s.
It could have, but at the same time, like, Freddy...
I guess that could have made sense.
It could have, but Freddy going off to be a camp counselor, like, when he was already such a weird-ass kid.
Yeah.
Like, that they show with the Alice Cooper scene and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But they cut that out, so I'm thinking...
Thank God.
Yeah,
no,
they cut that
out. I like the connection of them just being, oh, we met in hell. Okay, cool, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know people like that, sure.
Exactly. Exactly.
I've been in a similar situation.
I agree. So then Kid Jason goes to drown. Lori's trying to save him. But Freddy shows up, and ends up drowning Jason. And then in real life, he's like spitting out water. And so like Kelly Rowland is like freaking out, like, oh my God, he's drowning, but we need him alive to kill Freddy. And so they're trying to do like mouth to mouth to Jason. Which is like, oh my God, no.
It was so nasty.
Yeah. So Lori's trying to wake up because, you know, she keeps grabbing on Freddy and like, you know, like, wake me up, wake me up. But everyone keeps forgetting she got fucking tranquilized.
Yeah.
Like, you can't wake up easy when you've been tranquilized. So then, yeah, she has a further nightmare where she's back at her house, which was Nancy's house. And this is where she gets the vision of her dad killing the mom, supposedly. But then find out it wasn't the dad who killed the mom, but it was Freddy.
Yep.
That killed the mom. And so then she's like, oh, my God, you did it. And so then Jason then wakes up. And then everyone freaks out in the van, like.
Crashes. You know,
crashes, yeah.
That's what happens when you have a 7-foot zombie waking up in the back of your van on your drive from Illinois to New Jersey.
Exactly.
Fucking kids.
I love when the van was crashing, Jason like flew out of that van like a fucking missile.
Yeah.
And so then they're like, okay, we need to, you know, Lori's not waking up. So they're dragging Lori's, like, unconscious body to Crystal Lake. They made it there, actually. And so then Jason then shows up at Camp Crystal Lake and is, like, you know, attacking them. And then Will's like, wake up, Laura, you gotta wake up. And so then a fire gets started in the cabin they're hiding out in. And then they use the fire to wake up Lori. But she also happened to be grabbing on Freddy. So then she managed to bring Freddy into the real world. And then we get our final battle of Freddy versus Jason. And I have to say, I saw this movie in the theater, like the very minute it was available in theaters, my ass was parked right there in the seat. And I have to tell you, this was the most amazing thing I ever seen in my life, was watching these two like fight for like 20 minutes at the end of this movie. And like, you know, we could describe what happens in the fight, but it's like a typical fight. Like they're at the camp. There's also construction happening, so they're using a lot of the construction stuff to kind of hit each other. Freddy's, you know, stabbing at Jason. Jason's chopping away at Freddy with the machete. Yep. Jason throws Freddy in the air, and he flies all the way up on top to a construction crane. Mm-hmm. And then starts raining down, like, steel poles onto Jason, which is a very clever scene. And it's like stuff like this that makes me wonder, like, how do they choreograph like fights in movies? Like, that cannot be an easy job, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how do you plan all this? You know what I mean? Like, from like a screenwriter's point of view, I think you just write Freddy fights Jason.
Yep. And that's then, like, your problem to figure it out, director man.
Yeah, exactly.
Or woman.
Like, you're just typing and you're like, well, good luck. There it is. Freddy fights Jason. Oh, here's some construction stuff. We'll put some construction stuff there for you.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, like in Lord of the Rings, when I watched this, the extras, they said that to this day, the script for Fellowship of the Ring, when they're running, you know, the staircase and everything, the Balrog and all that fun stuff. Yeah. It just says they run down the stairs to escape. And, you know, everything's crashing around them. You know, it's like, we'll figure it out later. Just put in a note.
Can I be honest with you about something?
You've never seen Lord of the Rings.
I've never seen Lord of the Rings.
That's okay. I don't hold anything against anybody. I don't.
Well, thank you.
Whatever. You know, people haven't seen Star Wars. I mean, I freaked out when I met a girl who had never seen, like, in high school, and I met a girl who had never seen, like, The Wizard of Oz. But, you know, I mean, not everybody watches everything. Yeah, it happens. Whatever. I mean, my next door neighbor said he didn't see the original Star Wars trilogy until he was, like, in his 20s, which was very surprising. But the kind of person he is, I thought he would have been really into Star Wars, but he's not. And he didn't see him until later. Like, it just happens. You know, not everybody has the same kind of childhood and experiences growing up. It's fine.
I kind of have an excuse for not seeing Lord of the Rings. So when the first movie came out, I was unemployed.
Okay.
So I couldn't afford to go to the movies. And then it left the theater. Now, this is back in like 2002, so it's not like, you know, stuff went to Netflix like the next week or anything. Like, you know,
right, you had to wait months. Yeah.
So then
hard days.
By the time the second movie came around, I was like, well, I can't see the second movie because I hadn't seen the first movie. So, all right. So the second movie came and went, and then the third movie came out, and then I was like, well, I'm just so super far behind, and it's like, I'm not going to get to watch these. So I just never got around to it. That's all it is. I just never got to it.
That's fine.
So yeah. I did go see the Harry Potter movies when they were released, but, you know, I had a job, so.
That's cool. No, I didn't even like the first Lord of the Rings the first time I saw it. I'm like, well, that was stupid. And my mom had never read the books, but she really loves fantasy. And so she really liked it. My boyfriend had read the books and really loved the movie. And they're both looking at me like I'm some kind of alien. Like, how did you not love that movie? I'm like, it sucked. Frodo's whiny little bitch. I mean, was I supposed to like that guy? Anyway, then they released right before the next one came out, they released the extended cut with like however like 30, 45 extra minutes. It explained, having never read the books, it explained a lot more backstory on like hobbits and that kind of stuff. And so I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. It's okay. It's aight. But I'll still, you know, I wasn't going to see any of the others. But that's like, yeah, okay, I'll give it another chance. And I went to Two Towers and fucking loved it. So, yeah, we used to watch the full trilogy every Christmas.
Oh, really?
Like when Mia was two. She'd sit there and watch it. She was like, that kid's never been scared of anything in her life. She'll sit there and watch monsters all day long. so then we quit. Now we just watch like any sort of series at Christmas. Like this last Christmas, we started on Christmas Eve and we watched all the Harry Potter movies through Christmas Day. Year before last, it was like Indiana Jones. So, but no, for like 4 years in a row, it was Lord of the Rings from like 9 a.m. till like 10 p.m. just going all day long. Like, you gotta pee too bad. We are not pausing this. You just go. you gotta start Christmas dinner. Okay. Well, the movie's gonna be playing. I'll turn it up a little louder for you. You know, that was it. So no, I don't hold a grudge against anybody who hasn't seen what most people have seen, because it's whatever. You know, we all have not had the same opportunities. I've learned in my old age. It's fine.
Gotcha. All right, that was Rachel trying not to be mad at Jason for not seeing Lord of the Rings, but saying she doesn't care. Too bad this is the last episode of that as well. Tune in next week when I tell her I've never seen Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's okay, too. You know, it's fine.
Yeah, see, there's that voice again. There's that voice. It sounds like you do care. It kind of sounds like you care.
Well, that's my drinking voice. That's my drinking I don't care voice.
Okay.
At the very least, I would say at least listen to the Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack. I'm sure you can catch it all on YouTube because the music is very good. The movie's aight. The music is very good.
Okay. So. Well, apparently I've been shunned from certain people for not seeing Lord of the Rings and Nightmare Before Christmas. So
it's fine.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm gonna take that as sincere, and we're gonna move on.
I didn't see Labyrinth until I was like 25, and I thought it was stupid as fuck.
Now, see, I feel like you would have been into that. You totally feel like a David Bowie fangirl.
You would think, but I'm not. I like some of his music. I respect him, but I'm not a fangirl.
Huh.
Okay. I highly respect David Bowie. I really do.
That just surprises me.
I know. A lot of people are probably very surprised by that.
I really felt like you would have been like all like, oh, I watched that as a teen girl and David Bowie was my first crush and blah, 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 blah.
No, I didn't see it until I was like in my 20s.
Wow. All right.
And I really thought the movie was pretty dumb. But I mean, as an artist, I've always respected David Bowie. I've just never been a huge fan of his music. I mean, I have some of his music, but like I couldn't tell you anything about albums and eras and anything like that. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Jason and Freddy are fighting. So
we're having a memory episode, just not memories of this podcast.
Yeah, fuck this last episode. So what the hell? What's everyone going to do? Stop listening?
Yeah, we're going to lose listeners over this rambling. I don't think so. Go ahead. Quit listening.
Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? This is the final episode, and you're not doing anything at home. You're stuck inside your house.
Quarantined.
Yeah. I'm essential. I have to go out, but you're probably not. So,
I'm not essential. No, I'm just raising the future.
There you go.
Oh. Quick side note, though, one of the other mom friends on Facebook said, you think the country's scary now? Wait 20 to 30 years from now when you have a bunch of kids who were homeschooled by day drinkers running the place. It's true. That's funny. To survive this shit.
That is funny. Oh, man. Okay, so Freddy and Jason are fighting.
Right.
The nerdy kid gets killed. Yep. I felt like he was gonna hook up with Kelly Rowland, but then that didn't end up happening.
Yeah. He was very into Lori, but it was like maybe it was just a cover to really get to Kelly Rowland. It wasn't.
No, it wasn't. So then Kelly Rowland starts like talking shit to Freddy, and Freddy kills her.
Yeah.
Which felt kind of random. Like
she was trying to save Lori, wasn't she?
I guess kind of distract, but like, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, it did feel random. It was just like, would she really have done that in this situation? Shouldn't she be getting a nose job or something?
Exactly. So then that just leaves Will and Lori, and then you know, Freddy and Jason are fighting each other. Now, I do like the part where Jason cuts off Freddy's arm, and so he's holding Freddy's arm with the glove.
Mm-hmm.
And then Freddy manages to cut off like Jason's fingertips, which made him drop the machete.
Yep.
And so then Freddy ends up picking up the machete, and then Jason's got the glove, and then they're killing each other with those things. And then Lori's like setting the whole damn camp on fire now, and then is like, "Yeah, we need to just kill these two and just be done with it." So they set the thing on fire. Freddy does another thing that I'm surprised no one thought to do in 9 movies of Friday the 13th was stab out Jason's eyes.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't he do that before?
Well, they did grow back that one time he came back from the grave thanks to Horseshack.
That is true. See? Memory episode.
Memories!
I think I'm calling this episode Memories. Or Memory episode, one of the two.
And before we even start talking, you gotta play that song from Cats.
No.
No, I don't have to do that. Stop. You're not in charge of this boat.
No, I just don't want to think about Cats. That's all that is.
I gotta gate watch that someday.
I know. It feels like I should now because I got, you know, time now to watch it. But right. And I used to watch bad movies on purpose. So, right. You know, it's like, should I?
I feel like it needs a hate watch. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
All right. Would you ever want to do it with me?
That'd be so much fun.
All right. We'll do that. Me and you will do that sometime.
Yes. Okay.
We'll set that up somehow.
Cool.
So let's just wrap this. Okay, so clearly they're fighting. There's gonna be a fake out. Like, one of them's gonna supposedly die, but then you think they both died. And then, no, Freddy's left, and he's carrying Jason's machete. He's about to kill Lori. But then Jason shows up, shoves Freddy's glove into Freddy's, like, chest. And then Lori gets up, steals the machete away, and is like, "Welcome to my world, bitch!"
Yeah, again.
And then chops off Freddy's head.
Yep.
And then I kind of like when Jason, like, shoved arm into Freddy, he gave this look like, "Fuck yeah, I did that." And he just fell into the water. And then almost like Lori looked at him as if like, "Thanks, old friend." And so then the movie ends, and, you know, you're kind of like, well, who won that? Like, did Jason win that technically? Or did Freddy win? Like, well, Freddy got his head cut off and his arm cut off, and he died, and Jason kind of doesn't die. He's on the bottom of Crystal Lake, which is his normal thing. Yeah. So, you know, you're like, who won? And even the movie just kind of leaves it up for interpretation, because then we get that part where Jason's walking to that weird underwater cabin thing carrying Freddy's head, but then Freddy turns to the camera and winks, and then the movie ends. So, like, Rachel, what do you think? Who do you think won, Freddy or Jason?
I think the audience won.
Okay.
The movie studio won. Getting all that money. No, I knew nobody was gonna technically come out on top, because you can't. It's like how they never really die at the end, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
I knew nobody was gonna come out of there a victor. It's just not how horror movies really work. There's always that last, we still have to leave it kind of open, don't we? Even when it's the final whatever. No, they're still there. So, I knew it wasn't gonna be like that.
I'm gonna be biased and say Jason won. All right.
I mean, he was carrying Freddy's head, but they're probably just gonna—he was probably just gonna take him to a bar and get a beer or something.
Sure.
Sure.
We'll go with that. I like it. All right. So let's go ahead and do our final thoughts on Freddy versus Jason. What did you think of? What did you think of it? What did you think of the movie as a whole?
I mean, it's ridiculous, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good time.
It's a lot of fun, right?
It is a lot of fun. It is
a fun movie.
I wasn't sure, like, how it was going to work. Like, I like the setup of how Freddy, at the beginning, talks about having to go to the depths of hell, because that's the last place we saw him and Jason, actually.
Yeah.
And to use Jason for his bidding. And this is not like a new concept. We've seen this in movies a million times where some bad guy uses some other bad guy to do his bad guy work for him and then can't control him. So this is not a new thing. And it worked here. And then it gets out of control. And one bad guy has to go after the other bad guy. So I did like that concept with these two huge iconic horror film monsters, essentially. So yeah, I thought it worked. I mean, the cast of teenagers was a cast of teenagers.
Yeah, yeah.
There's literally nothing exciting to say about any of them. So it was fun though.
So how would you rate it?
I'd say like a it's purely fun factor. 3.5, 4. Yeah. 3.75. Yeah.
So 3.5. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't like that excited for it. I didn't go see it on opening day or anything.
Okay. Nice subtle dig at me, but okay.
Wasn't that subtle.
That's true. Okay, so I fucking love this movie.
Yeah.
It's stupid as fuck.
Yeah.
Ridiculous as all hell, and stuff doesn't make sense.
But no.
God damn, is it a lot of fun to watch. I mean, yeah. You cannot ask for anything more when it comes to a Freddy versus Jason movie. I mean,
right.
Like, you know, we expecting like Laurence Olivier or something. Like,
yes.
No.
It's... Laurence... He's been dead a really long time.
Well, Jason's been dead for a very long time. That don't stop
as
him.
Well.
So. So Laurence Olivier versus Jason.
No, Laurence Olivier versus, like, who'd be a good... Orson Welles.
Nah.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
We should retroactively make that.
I'll get on it.
But, yeah, like I said, I saw it opening day. The second it opened, I was there. And I was not disappointed. I was very happy with what I saw.
I mean, I had fun, but I still have to give it 3.5 to judge it for all the silly shit, like Elm Street and Crystal Lake being within driving distance overnight of each other, and you know, things like that. So,
well, I'm giving it a 4.
Okay, that's fine.
I you keep saying that, and it's making me think it's not fine.
It's a phrase I use a lot these days.
Yeah, I enjoy the hell out of this movie. I really like it. Yeah, that's about, so. Yeah, very glad. I'm very happy you got to see Freddy vs. Jason. Now,
I actually had to buy it because I couldn't rent it anywhere. It wasn't for rent. I had to spend $13. Well, $12.99, but $13 to buy it. Yeah,
it's not on YouTube to rent.
No, everywhere. It was Prime, really? iTunes, YouTube. They would only sell it. You could not rent it.
That's weird.
Yep.
I had no fucking clue.
But for you, Jason, I bought it. This is not the first movie I've bought.
I was like, this is the second time I think I made you buy a movie. Third? What's the third one? Because I know that Mold movie I made you buy.
That what?
That Mold movie? That movie about
the... Yes. The Mold movie with Chad Lowe.
Yeah. I made you buy that.
And I think I had to buy Beasts of Yucca Flat when we were doing a Mystery Science Theater episode.
Well, that you could have watched. You could have watched the MST3K episode of that.
I
would have been fine.
I think we were watching the movie by itself, and then also because they cut so much out of the original movie.
I guess.
For TV. And then
did
I feel
I
like.
That?
But then I like also watched.
Man.
I feel like there was something. I know there's at least another movie I bought for you.
I was a strict asshole back in the day.
It
damn.
Was
no wonder. No wonder you're still friends. I'm surprised you're still friends with me. Man.
And he hasn't even watched Lord of the Rings. I was going to say Lord of the Flies, but that's different.
That I have seen. I have seen Lord of the
it
Flies.
It has gotten very Lord of the Flies around here. So
it has gotten very Lord of the Flies. Okay, well, I appreciate you buying it. So, if anything, you now have a memento for our time together.
That is
so
true.
So, yes. I hope you put that on a shelf very high and mighty and get to look at it every now and then and be like,
it's digital.
Oh, well, then never mind.
My
Well, then I hope you get to look at your files.
No, next okay. time my husband pulls up the list, he's like, "What the fuck is that doing on there?"
that or he'll watch it.
Both.
Okay, yeah, let's recap the series now. Let's get your thoughts on the entire series. So first, before I get your thoughts, let me remind you what you rated each movie. So part one, the first movie, you gave it a 4 out of 5.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
It's the first movie. Friday the 13th.
No, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, we're doing Nightmare. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We already recapped Friday the 13th.
Well,
we're doing
it's
Nightmare.
The memory episode. I don't know how far back we're going.
I mean, I could if you want me to.
Nah, that's right.
Okay. So the first Nightmare on Elm Street, you gave it a 4.
Okay.
I gave it a 4, so we both agreed on that.
Very
and
iconic.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
Totally.
Part two, actually, I was worse on it than you were. I gave it a 1/2 star. You gave it 1.
Okay.
You gave it 1. I don't remember what the redeeming quality of that was, but you gave it a 1, and I was like, no, fuck this movie. It's a 1/2 star.
I don't know.
Yeah, we both hated it. I know that.
I don't know.
Part three, we both gave it a 4, which makes sense. It's, you know, it was and it might have been too, you know, on top of it being actually a decent movie. It
and
came
no
immediately
line.
After part two, and yeah. Nolan was there. That was the episode Nolan was on.
Yeah.
And I think he gave it like a 20 or something.
Yeah.
So.
He gave it all the stars.
All the stars, yeah.
In the universe. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, that one has a little nostalgia for me too, because I was watching it, I did remember parts
That's
of it
right.
coming back from when I watched it as a kid.
That's right, you did say that. Part four, you gave it a 2, I gave it a 3. That's the first movie with Alice in it,
right?
And yeah, you didn't seem to care for that one very much.
It wasn't anything against Alice; it was just everybody else.
Gotcha. Now part five was interesting because you were sick and you couldn't talk. But I somehow made you talk a lot anyway.
And I really lost my voice. Yeah. I remember by the end of that episode I was just like, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I apologize for that.
It's
and
right.
You gave part five 2.5 stars and I gave it just a 2.
Okay. Yeah, that was when Alice had a second group of ride or dies. That I'm
like,
where did you get these people? Jesus.
Part six, which was Freddy's Dead, you gave 1.5 stars.
God. And I only gave it that extra 1/2 for the Johnny Depp and Roseanne Barr and Tom Arnold and Alice Cooper cameos.
The cameos.
That was it. I think they bumped it up from a 1. Or maybe, yeah, they bumped it up to 1.5.
Wait, here's something funny. For me, this was the highest rated movie in the series I gave. I gave it 4.5 stars.
Jesus H.
I really like Freddy's Dead. It's really fun.
Oh my god.
And see, it blows my mind that you thought Freddy versus Jason was fun, but you didn't see the fun in Freddy's Dead. That just blows
really
my
didn't.
Mind.
No.
Man.
I think I also hated the fact that, it's Freddy's daughter. She's got to be the one to kill him. Well, God damn it. Why are we doing this shit again?
Yeah, because we saw that in Jason's Dead. Or
yeah,
Jason
with
Goes
his niece.
To Hell.
Ugh.
New Nightmare. We both gave it a 3.
Okay.
Which is surprising because I thought we liked it a little bit more than that, but.
I think I respected the concept, but not the execution. So it was
fair.
Very middle of the road. Okay, cool. Freddy coming into the real world to torment the cast, but like too much of Heather Langenkamp's life was in it, and that really
that's true.
I was really hoping it was going to be more like they were making another Freddy movie, and then Freddy really came into the real world and tortured them on the movie set. I thought that would have been a great concept.
Yeah.
But no. And then of course, fancy Robert Englund.
I figured that might have been why you gave it a 3 as well. So.
Yeah, fancy Robert Englund.
Fancy Robert Englund, yes, of course. The remake, we both gave a 1, because fuck that movie.
Fuck that shit.
I'm surprised I even gave it a one, honestly. I don't even know what the one was for. I must have. Was there nudity? There wasn't even nudity in that.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Rooney Mara, who went on to become an Oscar-nominated actress the next year.
Right.
Of all things.
And then we end on Freddy vs. Jason, where I gave it a 4, you said 3.5. So, yeah. Rachel, the question now stands, what do you think has of the series Nightmare on Elm Street as a whole? Now that you've seen every movie, what do you think of that series as a whole?
It's aight.
Okay.
Freddy, of course, is a very iconic character. He gets cheesier as it goes on, like the mm-hmm. one-liners and stuff. It just keeps going. And I remember when we first started this, and I was like, I need like a little more backstory on Freddy, and you laughed because you're like, oh, you want backstory? Whoa! You just wait.
Yep.
Yeah, it fucking goes on and on and on at times. I mean, I think Robert Englund did the best he could with the character, and I do respect that he came back for everything except, of course, the shitty remake.
Yes. So
I do like that, because without him, like, okay, Jason honestly could have been, like I talked about earlier, could be played by any big guy. I mean, Kane Hodder ended up being the main one that everybody loves, but there's mm-hmm. no way, there's nothing except him killing people with a mask on by the end, for me.
Yeah.
But for Freddy, for mannerisms and expression and lines and everything, I mean, you need the same guy every time, or it's not going to be the same Freddy. So I really liked Robert Englund. And I didn't mention this, but I felt like he was a lot more menacing in this Freddy versus Jason than he had been in a really long time. Like, I felt like the one-liners were kept to a bare minimum, except for that "Welcome to my world, bitch" line that just kept popping up. It was exhausting. But I was... He was a bit scarier than he had been in a very long time. Like, for last several Nightmare movies, he got pretty cheesy.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely.
Everybody else, I don't know. It's kind of hard to judge the parade of silly teenagers that go through these movies who weren't normally played by actual teenagers. It's fun to see some famous faces when they were younger. Johnny Depp, Kevin Bacon, Patricia Arquette, things like that. It's fun to see them, but at the same time, you're like, okay, well, you did move on to better things.
Right. Well, I mean, everyone's got to get a start.
Right.
And most actors do get their start in horror movies. Right. Like,
and at least these are like iconic horror movies and not like Ouija, which I haven't seen, but still. So I kind of hard to decide. I feel like Freddy's a more fun villain.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like the, I feel like Jason had some better kills. Like, yes. I felt like Freddy was very, not one note, but his kills weren't nearly as fun.
I 100% agree. Memorable. I was actually going to mention that myself. So, you know, for me, you know, honestly, and I'm being completely honest, I do prefer the Friday the 13th movies. Like, I think those are a lot more fun to watch. They don't feel like a slog to get through. You know, they can be repetitive, but they're kind of repetitive in a fun kind of way.
Right.
And it feels more like a comfort movie, you know, like, you know, you know what you're getting when you get into it. Like, you know, dumb teenagers, woods, having sex, doing weed, and then a guy's going to come in a hockey mask and kill them all.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like Nightmare on Elm Street. It's like fucking like Greek mythology, like trying to pinpoint, like, oh well, this started here and then this became this, and then, you know, then we got this person, and then Amanda Kruger was raped, and then we don't know who the dad is.
That might be like another issue I have with the Nightmare on Elm Street is the rape and potential like child molestation that Freddy had going on before he killed him. There's all that. Jason just wants to kill people having sex. Okay. Right. Sure.
Exactly.
Why not? So yeah, I think that's part of I do think I like Friday the 13th better, too. And it ended on a much better note. Like, Jason X is so much better than Freddy's Den, The Final Nightmare. Like, for me, I know you enjoyed that one, but for me, Jason X was like so much more fun
Okay.
than the sixth Fright Nightmare on Elm Street. Though I did appreciate New Nightmare. Didn't love it, but I did appreciate what they tried with it, which they
Right.
never did anything like that with Friday the 13th.
Yeah, you did enjoy Jason X more than the other movies. Huh. Yeah, look at that. 3.5 stars.
Must have been the Cronenberg.
Yep. Okay, so okay, well, let's see, how do I word this? So you were only kind of into horror movies going into this. Now that you've seen two of the most iconic horror series that's like out there, do you think like on your own you're gonna go check out like the Halloween movies or like the Hellraiser movies? Like, how do you feel about that?
No.
Like on your own. Like, we're
I
not, I'm not gonna make you do it now. We're done with the
no,
podcast,
no. I
but
wouldn't 'cause I mean I don't have a general interest for it. I mean, I'll still watch a horror movie every now and then. I like the shitty PG-13 things that come out all the time. But I mean, I've seen Halloween. I
Okay.
haven't seen all of the I mean, I don't think I've seen any Halloween other than the first one, and I know they're still making them. Jamie Lee Curtis just came and they just came out with a new one like a year ago, 2 years ago. Yeah, I haven't seen any others. I've only seen that first one, and it's a great movie. Same thing with like the first Child's Play. I think that's the only one I've seen. Didn't see this remake or anything. I mean, I'm not gonna go seek out classic horror films,
Okay.
because I've seen a lot of the original installments for them, so I don't feel like I need to go back, and I definitely don't feel like I need to watch all of the sequels because. Yeah, sometimes it feels like a repetitive slog to get through. Like,
Yeah.
there, I mean, though I enjoy Friday the 13th more, there's like several that I'm just getting so mixed up in my head right now. I'm not even sure which ones are which because there's 10 of them, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would have to like
Eleven
sit.
if you count the remake.
Right, which I'm not.
And 12 if you
And
count
count
Freddy
Freddy
versus
versus
Jason.
Jason. Right. So, I mean, probably the middle section, I'm like, wait, which one was that again?
Okay.
So yeah, I don't want to get involved in anything. Like, I have no desire to get involved in anything like that. And I feel like I've seen a lot of the classic ones that I don't need to go back and watch them, and I have no desire to
Okay.
continue with the series.
Okay, that's
So
fair. That's fine.
yeah, I don't feel incomplete without having seen them.
I was hoping to like maybe turn you into a horror girl, and then
Yeah,
you'd be
no.
like yay, Pinhead or something.
No.
Well, okay, that's perfectly cool. Okay, so what did you think of this experience overall? Like, us doing this podcast together and watching all these movies. What are your thoughts on that? Like, did you? Or, are there times where you regretted it? Were you like mad at me at some point?
No, I was never mad. I mean, this is voluntary. I can't get mad at you for volunteering for this.
I know. I meant like, okay, maybe that's the wrong. Like, did it feel like a job at any point? Like, I gotta watch damn Friday the 13th Part 7 today,
Well,
or.
anytime I podcast, it kind of feels like that, even though it's all voluntary basis. Like, I gotta, like, oh shit, I can't catch up on my shows tonight. I gotta watch this. But not like in a bad way. Just, I mean, they're only an hour and a half. I
Yeah.
mean, they're
Okay.
short.
Yeah. That is the upside to these things, that they're
Yes,
short.
they're very, except for what was the really long? Oh, A New Nightmare was like
New Nightmare was
almost
long.
two
Yeah. That
hours.
was almost 2 hours.
Jeez. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, it was never bad. What I do appreciate, like, okay, so I did buy that last September. I bought that Friday the 13th shirt with the Jason
T-shirt.
mask.
Yep. Yeah.
And I feel justified wearing that. And it's a good feeling because it's not like, oh, I bet, because I swear to God, I feel like I wear that. And some people probably leave me like, Jesus, wearing that because it's Friday the 13th, or it's close to Halloween, so she wants to wear a creepy movie. She's probably not seen any of them. If she has, she's probably only seen the first one once. And I'm like, no, fucker, I've
Nope.
watched all 10. Go to hell.
Yeah.
So I feel like I said, justified in being able to wear something like that or talk about it with some knowledge now. So I do feel
Awesome.
good that I have
Okay.
gone through both of these series.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's it.
Okay.
That's all the questions I got. I am very eternally grateful you've done this with me. I couldn't have asked for a better person to do it. I'm glad you agreed to it. I had a lot of fun. Almost, for almost a year, you know, getting the podcast with you.
Doesn't feel like it's been a year. I'm serious. Yeah. I feel like we started in fall.
No, yeah, it was in May. I promise you it was in May.
Okay. I mean, I guess it couldn't have been in fall because we did take a break after Thanksgiving until after. Yeah. Okay. It does not feel like it's been that long we've been doing this. No,
yeah. We did it all throughout. We started
every 2 weeks. Yeah.
Every 2 weeks. Yeah. And we went with it.
Wow.
But serious. I am very serious. I'm very grateful to you that you've done this. Let me pick your brain a little bit about horror movies and, you know, if anything, what I think I got out of this in terms of having you on is giving me a fresh perspective on these. Because, like I said, the whole premise was I grew up with these movies. I watched them nonstop since I was a kid. And so getting to hear someone experience these for the first time is very exciting for me. And, you know, they get to experience, like, Shelly for the first time as an adult or the corny Freddy one-liners and having you groan at, like, all of them and the random Roseanne and Tom Arnold cameo. Like, you know, getting to hear, like, to experience all that for the very first time was very cool. And, yeah, so seriously, just thanks, Rachel, for doing this.
Oh, you're welcome. I expect my gift basket in the mail, COVID-free, any day.
I'll. You know what? Here's what you get. For serious, you get to come on my other podcast whenever you want.
You get to come on whatever, whenever.
Exactly. So you will always be top priority. You and Nolan. You have to share the thing with Nolan, unfortunately.
Of course.
But whenever you want to come on and just talk about bullshit for an hour and a half, you are more than welcome to do that.
Awesome.
So, okay. That's it for the show. Everyone out there listening, thank you all very much for joining us on this journey.
This episode was so chaotic. We're sorry, but it's the last one. I mean,
it was the last one. We had to get goofy.
It's a quarantine. I mean, it's just a perfect storm. What do you expect?
Exactly.
Freddy versus Jason, last episode, quarantine. I mean, we had no choice.
And Rachel has been drinking. So
I have been drinking. It's true.
Oh, can I ask you that? Have you been, except for the one, what was that one? There was a Friday the 13th you were super drunken, but were you drinking in every single episode we've done?
Very possible. I mean, it's not like I keep track. I don't keep a log of my alcoholism. Yes.
You don't?
Yes.
I thought everyone did. Wow.
No, I'm still just kind of going with the flow at this point.
Isn't that the first thing you do in AA is you burn your alcoholism log?
Well, I don't know. Well, I haven't been there. no, I know there are a couple episodes where I didn't drink, but I mean,
I was just curious.
No, I think it was the Jason Takes Manhattan that I was super toasted
for. Yeah, that's it, yes.
I mean, but when you have, you know, toxic funny. Sludge flooding the New York sewers every night, you gotta drink before you talk about that shit. I mean,
I just remember.
You can't do that sober.
I just remember waiting here for you to come on Skype, and then the only thing I hear from you is, I'm drunk, let's do this.
Yeah, I think it was Jason Takes Manhattan, but how I think it was not too.
I think it was that one, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Because I think that was a much longer episode, because...
Possibly.
Because I feel like I was pretty drunk.
Yeah, but it was fun.
I mean, yes, chances are I've had a drink or two... Probably too. Because what I do is I eat dinner where I have a drink, and then I'll grab another drink and then head down to the basement to podcast. So I'm probably at least two drinks in by the end of the episode, like I am now.
So that's 20 episodes of you just drinking.
I mean, if you want to look at it that way.
All right, everybody. Thank you all very much for listening. We hope you had fun listening to our shenanigans the past 20 episodes. That's it. We're done. Go check out my other podcast, Whatever with Jason Soto. It is on Spotify and Podomatic and all that good stuff. I will be focusing all my time and attention to that now. And that's it. Good night, everybody.
Bye.